Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you've had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 9th of March. Coming up today, a record year for a Kent charity who redistributes surplus food.
This year, we generally sort of smashed that beyond. We're about 1.300 tonnes. Of good quality surplus food now going out to over 150 charity groups across Kent and Medway.
Work underway to bring a former department store in Folkestone back into use.
The council is, you know, really excited to be able to move forward with the project, you know, especially with putting the new medical centre in there and, you know, a whole new vibrant sort of commercial space as well.
And a wrap up of the football action from across the weekend.
Everyone's a little bit down and everyone's like, oh, we lost the points in the last minute. Yeah, fair enough, but wow, we're missing like Daki, McCleary's still out.
All of that still to come, but first let's take a look at our top story for today. A Sittingbourne man has avoided jail after attacking a school bus full of children after being refused a lift home by the driver. Paul Fuller demanded to be allowed on the service while it was stuck in traffic. Lucy has some more details for the podcast. She's with me now. First of all, Lucy, if you could just give us some background, when and where did this all happen?
Well, it happened on April 22nd last year while the Travel Masters school service was stopped in traffic in Sittingbourne. Fuller, who was extremely intoxicated at the time, started banging on the door and demanding to be let in. He became angry at the driver's refusal and made violent threats before walking around to the front of the bus and punching the windscreen. The driver's window was also smashed with a brick. Eventually, the traffic started moving again and the bus driver was able to get back behind the wheel and move away.
Now, this sounds like a terrifying experience. Was anyone injured?
Well, when the driver's window was smashed, his chair was covered with shards of glass, some of which became stuck in his thigh. Magistrates were told he didn't stop the bus again until it was safe to do so and even finished his school run. Afterwards, he went to the hospital where the glass splinters in his thighs were removed with tweezers. But months later, shards are still popping out. In a victim impact statement, he said he didn't want to go to work after the incident and that his anxiety, which he took medication for, was made worse.
And I understand Fuller admitted charges of assault and criminal damage when he appeared in court.
Yes, that's right. He also admitted to being extremely intoxicated on the day of the attack and has since referred himself to the Forward Trust, which is a support service for drug and alcohol users, and is doing quite well. The 42-year-old from Hythe Road defended himself during the proceedings and told the court he'd been struggling because of a relationship breakdown and had been drinking more. He was jailed for 18 weeks for the offences, but the term was suspended for 12 months. He was also ordered to carry out 200 hours of unpaid work and pay a victim surcharge of £154 and £85 in court costs. Fuller was also ordered to pay the bus driver £300 compensation and the bus company £150 for the repair of the window.
Thanks, Lucy. You can read the details of this story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, a Canterbury man's appeared in court after attacking his girlfriend following a row about the cleanliness of their home. Strachan Gilliard flew into a rage after coming home from work to his caravan in Fordwich last December. He then went out to a Christmas party and got drunk before coming home to resume the violence. The 34-year-old, who now lives in Parkview in Surrey, has been given a suspended prison sentence in order to do 200 hours of unpaid work. A Chatham man who admitted assaulting another man during an attack in Gravesend has been ordered to pay compensation. Andrew Meek said he slapped and punched his victim in the head last September because he owed his father money. The 42-year-old from Cottle Avenue was told to do 200 hours of unpaid work and pay £1,000. A homeless man who convinced a woman to steal blankets from a shop in Dartford has appeared in court. Terence Winner had only met her about an hour before and asked her to take them from the Nice Price in the Orchards shopping centre because he was freezing cold. The 56-year-old, who has no fixed address, was caught by workers as he was handed the blankets. He's been placed on a 12-month conditional discharge. It was not stated in court whether the woman was also charged. A Herne Bay firefighter has helped save lives in Mozambique after what's been described as the worst flooding in a generation. Stacey Irvine flew to the African country in January as part of the UK's international search and rescue team. She's helped rescue 80 people cut off by rising floodwaters, which have left more than 70,000 people homeless. A Falklands War veteran from Maidstone who carried a standard at King Charles' coronation has died at the age of 77. Steve Champion was part of the town's Royal Naval Association branch and also served as a police officer. He appeared at the Channel Dash Memorial Parade in Dover last month, a few days before his passing from cancer.
Kent Online News.
Crews have been called to tackle a chimney fire at a business on Sheppey. It broke out on Harty Ferry Road at around midday yesterday. Three engines were sent to tackle the flames. No one was injured. Crime Stoppers have launched a campaign in Kent about the dangers of 3D printed guns. They're warning how illegal weapons, including converted firearms, are finding their way into local communities. Anyone with information is being urged to come forward anonymously. A Kent town has put forward plans for its first ever crackdown on antisocial behaviour. Council bosses in Tenterton have applied for a public space protection order, which means anyone caught drinking or causing trouble in the street could be fined. Police say they're carrying out targeted patrols in areas where it's becoming a problem following increasing concerns from residents. Now, concerns have been raised after a shop in Dartford launched a bid to be able to sell alcohol 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Police say changing the licence for the Premier Express Zenith supermarket in Hythe Street could lead to an increase in crime and disorder. The owners insist they'll be responsible. It's due to be discussed at a council committee meeting tomorrow. A charity that redistributes surplus food to people who need it across Kent say they've had a record year of impact. Fair Share sent out more than 1,200 tonnes of food to organisations that support vulnerable people in the county. That's even more than they did during COVID. I spoke to Ian Townsend-Blazier, who was their head of development.
If I just go back to sort of 2021, we were talking about the pandemic from a Fair Share point of view, was unprecedented levels. Normally we would be a distribution centre that would distribute about 800 tonnes worth of food. And then the pandemic hit in that period and we excelled and went up to 1,200, to levels that we never thought would be achieved again from the warehouse that we currently occupy. But this year we generally sort of smashed that beyond. We're about 1,300 tonnes of good quality surplus food now going out to over 150 charity groups across Kent and Medway, roughly providing about 3 million meals with that food. So, it's a lot of it is now fresh fruit and veg produce, which is brilliant because there's so many nutritional benefits with that. To have that food where the pandemic was more ambient and tinned foods, we're now in a lot more fresh food environment. So that's great from our perspective.
And I suppose there's unlimited demand as well. I mean, particularly at this time, you know, with inflation prices and families are really feeling the cost of living crisis, you're always going to have people that rely on services like Fair Share.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as I said, we've gone through a bit of a dip since the pandemic. You know, I've had supporting over 200 charities to now to 150, but that's back up on the increase. But the demand for the service has always been there. You know, if we can save the charities and community groups we serve money that can either be reinvested to support some of their own development or create savings to, you know, even just ensure that some of these charities are sustainable, that can just keep delivering the key services, is important. And it's all done, you know, with food that potentially would be wasted, which just seems a little bit criminal in some aspects because food inflation and the cost of food is at, you know, record levels, really. And, you know, there are millions of people across the country going hungry when there are lots of surplus food that can be perfectly edible. It's just getting it out there to the right places. And as I said, anyone in Kent and Medway that's looking to possibly become a member to our schemes, then we would certainly encourage them to get in touch.
Kent Online News.
Work is starting today on bringing a former department store in Folkestone back into use. Folker 2, which was part of the old Debenhams on Sandgate Road, has been empty since 2020. The local authority has been working with the NHS to turn it into a medical centre. Councillor Connor McConville has been speaking to Nicola.
I mean, most people in Folkestone will know the building as the Debenhams building. I think it still gets called that more than the Folker name that was, you know, given to it some years ago. It's always still fondly sort of referred to, I guess, you know, and it's great that we're finally being able to move forward with doing something with the building. People might, you know, forget that the council, you know, bought the building, 6 years ago, back in, you know, just over 6 years ago, back in February 2020. So, with the exception of it being used during COVID by the NHS, it hasn't seen really any use in those years. So, you know, the council is, you know, really excited to be able to move forward with the project, you know, especially with, you know, putting the new medical centre in there and, you know, a whole new vibrant sort of commercial space as well.
So what sort of work is starting today and what needs to be done overall to bring it back into use? And what's just explain a bit more about the vision for it going forward.
So what we're calling sort of phase one work. So it's putting the building back to a, you know, a workable shell, if you like. So works to the roof, to the, you know, to the windows, to the outside. There's a big piece of work. So while people might think of it as one building, it's actually two buildings. So, you know, we refer to them now as Folker 1 and Folker 2. You know, when it was the old Debenhams store, you could, you know, go in and out seamlessly between the two buildings. So we're partitioning off Folker 1, which is going to be sold to a private person who's, you know, we've got some very, very nice plans and we you know, we hope they deliver, you know, on what they've expressed when we did the process to dispose of that part of the building. And the funds from that will go into the bigger bit, the Art Deco bit, that which is, you know, referred to as Folker 2. So there's a pot of money from the Folkestone, the Levelling Up Fund, so which sort of associated with all the roadworks around town that people, you know, I'm sure know about. And there's also some money from what's called the Public Sector Decarbonisation Fund, which is specifically to, you know, help older buildings become more energy efficient. So, yeah, the building will be much more, you know, for energy saving, you know, allowing whoever goes in there, you know, it'll massively reduce the costs compared to, you know, when Debenhams, when, you know, with the last tenant, they you know, there'll be much lower energy bills. So all that work is going on is what we call phase one. And then obviously the vision for the building, you know, positive conversations are still carrying on with the Integrated Care Board, or the, you know, the NHS as the wider body, to put the new medical centre in there with, you know, the some of our two of our local doctors' surgeries to sort of run the main sort of vision of that. And then, you know, there's already interest from, you know, a wide ranging commercial partners that would sort of match in with that, you know, so pharmacies, dental practice, you know, there's a lot of scope for you know, the whole sort of ground floor, if you like.
Over the next 6 months, contractors will be making sure it's watertight. They'll also block off access to Folker 1 next door. An eyesore building near an Aldi supermarket in Hythe is due to be demolished. Bosses at the Pennypot Industrial Estate have been given permission to upgrade the site after saying some parts have been dilapidated and unusable. It's hoped the redesigned units would be attractive to potential occupants. A 300-home estate is set to be built in a Kent village after it was given approval by the planning inspectorate. Campaigners had opposed the development in Littlebourne near Canterbury over concerns about flooding, sewage and traffic. The site covers 40 acres of farmland and also includes a community hub and play area. Residents in Higham have spoken out against plans to build 50 homes on local farmland. Developers have submitted an application for new properties off School Lane, north of Highview. It's feared the village's infrastructure won't be able to cope, particularly as its only doctor's surgery is set to close.
Kent Online News.
Work to protect homes and businesses in Folkestone from flooding is due to resume today. 100,000 tonnes of shingle will be moved between Fisherman's Beach and the harbour to create more of a barrier for high tides and storms. It's expected to take between 6 and 8 weeks. An RSPCA cattery in Kent could be forced to close by the end of the year because of rising costs and dwindling donations. The Ashford Garden site has been running for 2 decades, but staff say they're now facing the most serious challenge in their history. Demand has apparently risen sharply, with more animals than ever needing urgent help. It'll soon cost even more to use the most expensive car parks in Canterbury and Whitstable. Council bosses have approved a 10p hike for 9 sites, meaning it'll now set you back £3.80 for an hour. It's feared it could put people off visiting, which would impact small businesses in the area. We now know when building work is going to start on a new McDonald's in Kent. A drive-through on the former Dover Leisure Centre site near St James's Retail Park was given the go-ahead last year. Bosses say construction will get underway in the summer and the restaurant should be open next year. year, providing 120 full and part-time jobs.
Kent Online News.
The Kent Online podcast has been hearing how Thanet's City of Culture bid for 2029 could bring more jobs and opportunities to the area. More than 70 community organisations are backing the campaign, along with artist Tracy Emin, who lives in Margate. Polly Billington is the Labour MP for East Thanet.
We've put together this bid and we're calling it Thanet Isle of Culture because Thanet is an island. It was an island, and after the Wantsum Channel silted up, we became connected to the mainland. But we need to use culture to connect to each other, as well as to the rest of England, to tell our story to each other and to the rest of the country, so that we can attract people to come here to enjoy what is a fantastically rich heritage of culture, right from the fact that the beginnings of the origins of the country begin in Thanet, with the Romans rocking up here, Vikings rocking up here, St. Augustine founding Christianity here. We've got some of the fundamentals of how Britain came to be Britain right here in Thanet. But also, importantly, it's about our future, about the fact that we have not been making the most of the sum. We end up being less than the sum of our parts because we don't work together as well as we could do. And bringing the whole isle together to celebrate who we are, our heritage, but also who we are now and what we'd like to be in the future. That's what's so exciting about this. And we originally thought that what we'd do is bid for the Town of Culture, which is a new prize. But I've got three towns in my constituency and each of them has an extraordinarily rich culture. And I didn't want them to be competing against each other. So it was brilliant that when I had the conversation with Tracy Emin, she said, no, we don't want to just do one town. Let's do the Isle of Culture. And I thought, that is why she is a global superstar artist. And let's make the most of that. So it's been brilliant. She and I have brought people together, just got a few people in the room to begin with. Like, what would an Isle of Culture bid look like? What do we think are the problems? How are we going to solve those problems with culture as part of our story? And one of the most important things is that culture is what you do when you're not at work, unless you work in the cultural and creative industries. And so we wanted to have that definition as wide as possible. So that's why we've got Ramsgate FC involved. That's why we've got Thanet Wanderers involved. That's why we're talking about health and well-being. It's a fundamental part of our culture because we started the seaside trend back in the 1700s. And we only had weekends. Working class people could only have weekends coming from London to Margate because the trade unions gave us a day off so that we could have a weekend. So we're right at the cutting edge of the holiday culture that is now an integral part of the seaside story of the UK. And we want to be able to celebrate that and work out what that means for us as a community going forward, so we can make more of ourselves as a place where people really want to come and enjoy themselves, and that we all get a bit of the culture, where sometimes it can feel a little bit exclusive.
As Polly mentioned there, Ramsgate United Football Club are among the local organisations backing the bid. I've been chatting to their media rep, Dan Whitehead.
I mean, the chairman, James Lawson, he's a very big advocate of community spirit, community togetherness. And it's, our club has played a vital role in bringing a lot of people together, different ages, backgrounds, experiences, just as any sort of festival or a concert or arts would do themselves as well. So we kind of see ourselves a pivotal part of the community, so we want to be part of anything that celebrates the area, because it, at the end of the day, it will bring in more people, more interest in the area, which brings more money into the area, and kid ourselves, this is a very deprived area still. It doesn't matter how beautiful it looks and on the outside, on the inside there's still a lot of deprivation. So as much money as that can come into this area as possible, that can enrich people's lives and bring in new businesses and anything that that can help people is obviously a very positive thing. So
is it a little bit about installing a sense of pride as well? You mentioned before that there is so much to do and see in Thanet, but there is a certain level of deprivation as well. Is it letting people that live in Thanet and visit Thanet know that there is a community there to be proud of?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's, we do at the football club, we do a lot of work with local schools and the HAF project, which is the holiday and food program, which is, promotes, it helps kids and families that need free school meals. So we put on free stuff for them. We during the Christmas break, we took them to the theatre so they could see the panto. During the summer, we take them to the beach and put on stuff for them, like learning to kite surf, not actually kite surfing, but we did it on the beach. Got some other kites up, and just introduce them to stuff that Thanet has, offers. And a lot of those kids, they wouldn't otherwise wouldn't get to see that stuff. So there is a lot of pride here. There's a lot of very hard-working people here, in the whole of Thanet. So I think if it's any opportunity for them to kind of come together and sort of celebrate that, and in any way possible, say we talk about the arts when say culture, but culture, spans food and sport and just community spirit. That's what it's all about. So yeah, I think it's wonderful, and hopefully we get to the next stage.
And a Kent Dog owner has secured an impressive double victory at Crufts. Shannon Springford won the large dog agility competition with Banter, the Border Collie. Her Shetland sheepdog called Halloumi also came first in the small dog version.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Gillingham narrowly missed out on 3 points after conceding late at Priestfield. The Gills took the lead against Fleetwood Town through Seb Palmer-Holden in the 61st minute on Saturday afternoon. The away side equalised in stoppage time. Boss Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team after the match.
I'm proud of the boys. We're missing some big players through injury at the moment. We came back from Barrow with four down leaders. You experienced players who've been there and done it. So everyone's a little bit down and everyone's like, oh, we lost the points in the last minute. Yeah, fair enough. But wow, we're missing like Daki. McCleary's still out, Cameron, Beckles, Masterson, Little. There's a lot of big names on the touchline there. And I went in the dressing room before the game and I thought, wow, there's a decent team in here. Never mind what's going on there. And having said that, well done, boys. You stood up to a challenge with not many leaders on the pitch, quite young at times. Fleetwood had a few. I thought first half we rode our luck, And do you know what? I'll take some blame because I wanted to turn Fleetwood and put them on the back foot, but we did it in every single pass we tried. And I'm thinking, right, don't do it every time. But the lads they've done what I'm asking. They're doing what I'm asking. We're battling for second balls. We limited them second half definitely to chances. First half, I thought they had too many. They had flashes across our goal and they could have scored. Although you've got to say, we kept a clean sheet well. And then second half, some real positives. Seb getting his goals, brilliant. Shad not played for so long, come in. I thought I had a decent game, as well did Johnny Williams, and there's been two that are out of it. But I'm putting, Travis in at midfield second half because we haven't got midfielders on the bench fit. I got three in the treatment room, but it's something that I'm proud of. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh God, we lost the game. I'm going to go, fair play, boys. 1-1. Okay, it's probably where we are, and the table says that. We're both around each other, Fleetwood and Gillingham. Lot to do, I know that. But we could have played a little bit more at times. Not overplayed, because we did that against Bromley. Not smashed when they stepped onto us. We didn't turn Bromley enough. But there's a happy medium in there somewhere, and fair play to the boys. They've given me everything. Thank you. I'm proud of that. And if anyone wants to have a go at my boys, then come through me first because I will protect those boys. They were down at the end. They were gutted. And I said to them, don't worry. I said, we're getting there. We will get there, this place. Don't worry. You give me everything. That's all I ask.
Their next match is against MK Dons on Tuesday night. To tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu has suffered a quick exit from the Indian Wells tournament. She lost in straight sets to American sixth seed Amanda Anisimova in the second round. The match in California only lasted 52 minutes. And at the Winter Paralympics, Kent's James Barnes-Miller has missed out on a place in the semi-finals of the snowboard cross. He stumbled during his run yesterday and, despite recovering, finished last. The 36-year-old from Broad Goldstairs will be back at action later this week, competing in the banked slalom on Saturday. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.